Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Parr. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's a managing director with Stiefel Nicholas. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Kemp.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. I've been wanting to get you, I think you've been traveling some, and talk about the second quarter results for the publicly traded flooring companies. But before we do that, based on who you are, we should probably just address what's going on in the stock market right now. Obviously, the Dow is where it was in November of last year. It's around 16.5. So talk a little bit about what's causing that.
Well, there seems to be a crisis du jour around the globe, and the latest is concerns about Chinese economic growth. I think also layered on there is the collapse in oil prices, which, while it may be good for carpet companies and consumers' wallets, has created a lot of dislocation. There were so many dollars being invested in the oil energy space that has cratered, and I think that's playing a role. But I think China is probably the bigger issue. This has been a high-growth economy for years. There's clearly signs of a significant slowdown, fears that that economy is propped up. You can see what they're doing to manipulate their stock market. And these are real concerns that could spill over into the U.S. economy. While U.S. corporations don't tend to do tons of business with China, there's fear that with not just China, but Russia imploding, and Brazil and Venezuela, Canada, Australia, just to name a few economies around the world that are commodity-based, there's some real concerns about what global GDP will do, and that it has to impact the U.S. at some point.
Most people know the GDP for second quarter for the U.S. was up 2.3%. And then as you look across the broad performance of many of the companies, you know, just recently we've gotten Home Depot and Lowe's results. I mean, those businesses are doing fine. And many of the flooring companies are doing fine.
Fine is an interesting definition. We kind of are 8 years removed now almost from the collapse.
Yeah.
We forget how painful that period was. And you know, many cases, and this is true in flooring, the new fine, doing fine, is still at a level well below the peak. So we've gradually climbed out of this. I think it's interesting that the housing outlook now, in my view, is as bullish in the next 6 to 9 months as we've seen it since the tepid recovery in housing began after the rapid fall. So, yes, I do think on a trend line basis we're doing better. We may actually be accelerating. We get off to a slow start with the weather this year, but the second half for flooring looks pretty darn good to me. Mm-hmm. The U.S. economy is, you know, one of the stronger economies around the world. So on a relative basis, we're in a pretty good seat. But I would still submit to you the 2% plus GDP and what we have year to date, which is less than that. And the GDP we've seen in this country since the, quote, recovery began is anemic, pathetic, one of the worst on record for a recovery, which should have the opposite given the epic recession we had. So there are still some chinks in the armor here, but we're trending right. And our sector specifically is one of the few that's really strong out there currently.
Most of the people who are looking for a silver lining are saying that, yeah, this is slow, but it might mean it's more prolonged. Do you buy into that?
I do. I mean, you could certainly look at the length of the, quote, recovery, depending on whether you're talking GDP or foreign sales. You have different durations. But, you know, we're in years 5, 6, 7, 8 of a recovery without a real downturn. So that's a very long recovery. And, yes, I think it's fair to say that some people like it this way. Give me, you know, 2-3% a year instead of 8, 9, 10, and then a slowdown. Yeah, I remember the 80, 81, 82 recession, and then we came out, I think it was 83 and 84, maybe it was 84 and 85. We had double-digit back-to-back year growth in carpet sales in those years, which was wonderful, but the down years were painful. So, yes, no doubt we're in a little bit of a more gradual ascent, which, frankly, is a little easier to manage in.
All right. Well, let's real quick cover a couple of the highlights for these publicly traded companies. I guess Mohawk is the one to address first. Obviously, they had some foreign exchange headwinds, but other than that, and also when you couple in the IVC, they had a little bit of sales revenue from the IVC acquisitions. Their numbers were pretty good, weren't they?
Yeah, I continue to be impressed by what that management team is able to do. And in the second quarter was certainly better than the first quarter, but not exactly a house of fire in a lot of the markets they operate. I think about Russia, for example. that is in an all-out deep recession. They grew their profits in Russia in local currency year over year in the second quarter. I mean, that's a phenomenal performance. They're growing their profits significantly in Western Europe. And they've been able to squeeze more or less 20% earnings gains out of mid-single-digit revenue gains. So doing a lot of things right, and the tailwind is frankly increasing. We're going to have falling raw material costs that are going to accelerate in the back half of this year and look like they'll benefit us into early 16. And as I mentioned, the volume outlook in North America looks better the second half than the first half. So if you thought the second quarter was good, let's see what we get for the second half of 15. I think it's been quite good out of all.
All right, so let's look at Armstrong. They actually had a fairly good story on the resilient side, but it wasn't very pretty on the hardwood side, was it?
Well, they cleaned up their resilient business by exiting out of Europe. So we're getting a better clean look at their North American resilient business. And the performance there over the years, frankly, has been pretty good, and we continue to see that. We certainly look forward to the new LVT plant coming online in Lancaster. Wood, obviously, margins are still depressed there. I think they're digging their way out of some tactical errors they made in pricing and client or account strategy there. You know, we have at least seen the lumber cost volatility settle down, so we have a little better environment to manage that issue. But I think we're going to see a slow, steady climb out on that side of the business. Fortunately, they're not big in laminate, which has been a challenge. But, you know, ceramic tile has been a hot, hot growth area, as has LVT, and they're not represented at all in those categories. You know, that's created a little bit of a headwind for them.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you're aware of it, but raw lumber prices are down, I'm being told, almost 50% in the last year. So I guess they have to answer to that, though, and lower their pricing relative to that.
Yes, prices have come in a little bit, but it's certainly relative to rampant inflation we're seeing that's a little better environment to operate in than the former, where, again, their response to that was to raise prices. You know, certain imports weren't raising prices, so it kind of priced them out of the market to some degree. And the bloom's off the rose in importing certain things from China as it relates to hardwood and laminate. So that's probably a favorable drag drop. Not that you wish ill on anyone, but lumber liquidators' problems probably on the margin helps Armstrong.
All right, let's talk about tile real quick. Interface, TILE. They actually had a fairly good second quarter, didn't they?
Very good numbers. I've covered Interface since the mid-80s, and there's a pretty good rule of thumb on that stock. It's their business, you know, even though they've diversified over the years into non-office segments and parts around the globe, if the U.S. office market's good, Interface is good. That is the case once again. So that their U.S. performance was terrific. They're slowly recovering in Australia from the fire event they had with their new plant. Asia's a little bit slow. Europe looks to be, you know, they've got a big presence in the U.K. That market is strong. They have a very high share there. So very good performance. I think the outlying data point, though, that came out in Q2 for Interface was the improvement in gross margin. They are finding efficiencies in their factories, particularly with Grange, that are impressive, and they're delivering really strong gross margin performance.
Yeah. And just to comment on something you mentioned a minute ago, their office sales up 12%, and most people know that's the biggest sector.
It is the biggest sector and one of their most profitable segments.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time, but just real quick, you did comment on lumber liquidators, and they're still facing some major headwinds on their reputation and their recovery from these things that happened in March with 60 Minutes, right?
Yeah, the minute you get the feds in and you get the lawyers in and the Consumer Product Safety Commission in, frankly, you're starting to get into a realm where it gets very difficult to judge the outcome. Obviously, the company has a net cash balance sheet and access to some capital that they could make certain settlement payments. But very difficult to analyze, you know, what's going to come of all of those. And I think you kind of need to know that. In terms of the management, there's been tremendous turnover there. Yes, the brand's been hurt, and we'll see if they can recover from that. But they've got to first recover from all the lawsuits and all the settlement payments. And that's what we got to get through first, quite frankly.
Yeah. Okay, John. Well, it's good to talk to you. Again, we're talking to John Ball with Steve Nicholas, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.